This is Don't Panic, episode number 401, recorded May 12th, 2025. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Don't Panic, the technology podcast on the gadgets, the internet, and of course you. I'm Sean Jennings, joined by a man who is a proud papa of his new foundation. It's Colby Rabideau. Hello, Colby.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where that was going.
Just winged it, so, you know.
It's true, I do have a new foundation. It's gray. It's very sturdy. It's filled with rocks.
Now, is this a philosophical foundation? Or is this... Because I've been going to a life coach, and I have a new foundation for life. It's gray. It's full of rocks.
Right. It's extremely sturdy. No, it's a real foundation. It's a... Wow. Yeah. I assume we've talked about that hypothetical house project on the show before, but now it's becoming less and less hypothetical every day. I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, congratulations. It's an exciting project. Speaking of exciting projects, we do have to mention Dan is not here tonight because his exciting project has come to fruition. He had his baby. When he comes back, he can talk all about it. I don't want to give everything away, but he successfully had a child and they're doing well. So we wish Dan all the best. Hopefully he'll listen and, we can't wait to have him back on the show, but we have a very progressive parental leave policy here on the show. We rival like Finland. That's how aggressive we are.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to think. So I changed jobs recently. And so I did a bunch of HR presentation. I mean, I was subjected to a bunch of HR presentations. But I think our parental leave policy, the work parental leave policy is like 12 weeks for the person who didn't have the baby. And
that's
more
pretty good.
4 weeks for the person who had the baby.
Very solid.
Do you think that's too generous for coffeeandbeer.tv? Should we get Dan back to work?
Well, to be fair, we already have a perk where we give us somewhere between a third and half of weeks off already. So we have an unlimited vacation policy here.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
Should we talk about our return to office policy? Yeah.
I was about to say, we've been doing the show remote for way too long.
Really? Literally.
Someday maybe we'll do it together, but not anytime soon. Well, I think we got a bunch of stuff to talk about here. We have a list, and of course we can veer outside the list. This is a new thing we're trying. We have a list. And is any of this jumping out at you, Colby, as something you might want to talk about? I'm happy to pick as well. We're going back to the old days when we had a rundown and we used to be like, no, you pick. No, you pick.
I would like to talk about the anti-Elon Musk seekers because... I just love that it's not going well for him right now.
Yeah, so I put this in the rundown.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
I've been noticing. So I do not live in the trendiest part of America. I don't live in the electric central of America. So I don't see a ton of Teslas. I see maybe one or two Cybertrucks once in a while and a handful of Teslas. But I've started noticing all the Teslas are doing, which I think we've all seen, those anti-Elon Musk bumper stickers. I bought this car before Elon went crazy, or the anti-Elon club, or whatever the bumper stickers. And I just want to put out there my opinion on this for whatever it's worth. I'm curious yours, which is, putting Cybertrucks aside, if you buy a Cybertruck, you are a grade A USDA certified moron, and there's nothing you can do to convince me otherwise. I'm sorry, that is just stupid. But I have a little bit of respect for Tesla owners, regular Tesla owners. It's a perfectly fine car. I don't know if I would own one, but I understand why it appeals to people and they buy it. And every corporation sucks. And I'm not, especially if you're somebody who bought the Tesla, you're on a lease or a finance, you're not just going to dump it and lose a bunch of money. I don't think that's realistic. I don't judge people for driving Teslas, but people who put those bumper stickers on their car are telling me, unlike regular Tesla owners, they're saying, I acknowledge what I'm doing is wrong. I'm being upfront with you. I acknowledge I am doing the wrong thing. And rather than, because I'm taking a stand here, rather than getting rid of the car, the ultimate stand, I'm going to slap a bumper sticker on it so I feel better. So my thing is, regular Tesla owners, I'm not going to beat you up over owning a Tesla. But if you have a bumper sticker, I think you're a huge piece of crap, because then just get rid of the car at that point. Like, if you have such an opinion... And by the way, I don't live in a city where they're getting egged. Nobody cares that you own a Tesla here. I get it. If you're in Silicon Valley or whatever, people have a problem, whatever. Nobody gives a shit. Like, just don't even bother. It just drives me crazy. So that's how you'll get judged by me, is having one of those stickers.
No, I like that. I feel like I've had the experience before with, like, you know, sometimes, like, someone will apologize for something that is, like, not their fault or, like, very much does not need to be apologized for. And, like, it makes me, it, like, does the same thing where it's, like, I wasn't mad before you said something, but, yeah. Like, now that you've said sorry, I'm considering whether it was your fault. And, like, it seems like you think it is. Should I?
Yeah, exactly. You're pointing a finger at yourself. Don't do that. Although I am tempted for my Hyundai to get a I bought this car before Elon went crazy sticker, because I just think that's funny.
That is
just to see
funny.
What people would say.
Yeah, I honestly, I haven't seen too many of the stickers on the Teslas around here. There have been an increasing number of Cybertrucks, and like this, you know, driving around the neighborhood here, if you're driving a really big truck, like you already seem like kind of a dingbat, because it just, like, unless you're obviously a construction dude who is going to work in your obviously construction truck, which you can tell it's a construction truck because it's filled with tools, uh-huh. Right? Like, like, that makes sense. But, like, you know, like, once in a while you see someone driving around in, like, a very shiny, like, you know, gigantic Chevy, and, like, they just look like a dingbat because it doesn't fit. You can't park that anywhere here. Like, there's no room. And the Cybertrucks are, like, huge. They're, like,
oh, yeah.
They're extremely long cars. And this is not a long car area. So I think it's dumb. They're making a mistake. They should be embarrassed.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like you have a choice in life and that's the choice you made. I think about there's a company here that has a very prominent billboard. It's an auto repair shop. And it says whatever the acronym version of make auto repair great again. So I guess MARGA. And again, I'm like, listen, I don't really care what your politics are, but like, that's what you're going to choose. Like, again, even if I agree
with you. How long
did
you think?
Well, and I'm like, so even if I was like the biggest like MAGA person on the planet, like, is that going to make me more likely to get my car fixed? But I couldn't figure out if it was like a joke or if they seriously, I'm just like, that is such an odd choice of a marketing message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. Now I'm going through the inventory of all the like MAGA stuff I see around. There's not really any of that in Boston, unsurprisingly, yeah. Perhaps, but like on, you know, driving home to Rhode Island, there's,
oh sure,
you know, there's some like 16 foot tall Trump signs like in people's yards or like stapled to their roofs or whatever. There's nothing too creative, though.
Well, I do have to say, my father is watching the show live, and he commented on Facebook in my reference to Springfield being a not very hip place. He said, come on, Sean, you live in the birthplace of basketball. And that's true.
That is true.
Listen, I could name many Springfield firsts and claim to fame. We're a very historical city. We're also just not the most cutting edge, put it that way.
It ebbs and flows, you know.
It's always funny here when you see, like, a Polestar drive by or like a Rivian and you're like, you're in the wrong spot, buddy. You are lost.
They're in our neighborhood. There is a Tesla dealership and a Rivian dealership.
Ooh, I like the rivalry.
And there are like, usually, I don't know. I think they've simmered down a little, but for a while, like every day there was a protest. So I assume it's been going well for the Rivian people, but I don't know. Who gets
They're flying
it?
Off the lot, man. Well, Colby, you know, one thing I want to pivot for a second here to the Lopez voice assistant class action settlement. Did you get an email about this?
I don't think so.
A tech angle. So
recently?
Yes, in the last couple days. So oh, this I is a and a lot of people, this is hot advice. A lot of people may have gotten this email. The subject line is Lopez voice assistant class action settlement. And this is from a lawsuit that went against Apple. Due to Siri-enabled devices experiencing unintended Siri activation during a confidential or private communication. There was a class action lawsuit. Apple has agreed to pay $95 million into a settlement fund. But I wanted to mention this on the show because if you got the email or even if you didn't, you can visit lopezvoiceassistantsettlement.com. For every, let me get this right, for every Siri-enabled device that you owned between September 2014 and December 2024 that you will under oath claim experienced an unintended Siri activation and that activation occurred during a conversation intended to be confidential or private, you can receive $20 for each device up to five devices.
I mean, I've definitely owned five Siri-enabled devices.
And they also don't ask for proof. Now, that's not to say you shouldn't lie, but it also makes it easy. I also know for a fact I have. I just don't want to dig out receipts.
I mean, one, that's great. Two, is this not happening? is this just going to, are they going to continue paying you $20 for each Siri-enabled device in perpetuity? Because Siri still does shit like this, right?
I agree. I should actually research the story and not just the free money I got in the email and see. Let's see here what the news says. Yeah, I know I'm using a blocker. Apple denies all wrongdoing. I will say that. Yeah, it doesn't say. It's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they're encrypted now or something. And
Yeah, maybe there was something about this time period. But yep. It's just like it's last year.
Yeah, it is very recent.
I don't know.
The lawsuit was originally filed in 2019.
Siri is a real dingbat. I don't understand why Siri is not like at least like 70% as convincing as ChatGPT is now. Like, what are they waiting for? I thought they have infinite money.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild. Obviously, we've talked about the Apple AI stuff, but is that like one of their biggest like failures in terms of something they announced and then just didn't actually follow through on?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, they were running TV commercials that showed off features that they were like, it'll be coming. And then it just never did.
Right. Oh, yeah. I forgot about all, like there were the TV commercials with the new like side, you know, the new animation. Which I like the animation, but like,
yeah,
the,
but
the experience,
the whole like apps will talk to each other and, you know, oh, you know, you can ask it to pull flight data from here and put it on your calendar there and do all this stuff and like that. And even the like image playground stuff, some of it came out, but it certainly wasn't particularly impressive.
Did you do any of the image playground? Did you play in the playground?
I have done the like emoji generation and it's kind of fun. But I've done like, and we're in a group chat where I've done this, but like Facebook Meta has an image generator that where you can like take a picture of yourself and it'll generate pictures of you. It works really well. I mean, it's stupid, but it works great. and I've enjoyed using it in ChatGPT as well. I use it not a lot, but it's worked very well the times I've asked it to do things.
I've tried using the emoji generator, but it has like there are words that are just like blacklisted and I like immediately in Slack there one of my favorite emojis is like it's like the sunglasses face but it's crying blood out from I tried that. That was like the first thing I tried to use that for is like, oh, you know what this situation calls for is sunglasses sob red. And I tried no matter like I tried every combination. And it refused to create an emoji that was crying blood. And it really like dashed my hopes. I haven't really tried it since then.
I will tell you, I asked Apple to create an emoji of me. And it does a similar thing to Facebook where it's like, oh, from your camera roll, here are pictures we think are you. Pick one that kind of represents you, make a picture. And what it generated, it looked like me. Like, no joke. The hair looked like mine, my face. But for some reason, like, my eyes and mouth area was really shrunk in to the center of my face. So it looked like I had a huge head. And I'm like, that's not right. And you can, like, swipe to generate more. And it just kept doing it. And I was going to send it. It was going to be like me giving the thumbs up. And so I sent it to like a work chat with a few people. And I'm like, this looks stupid, but fuck it. I'm going to send it anyway. And everyone's like, it looks just like you. I'm like, no. Apparently I have a big... And by the way, if you think I have a big face, you can email us, don'tpanicshow@gmail.com. But I was just like, that's the wrong thing to say in that situation.
It is interesting. Like, I guess it's weird. It's weird to find out something about yourself that you didn't realize, but everyone else.
Yeah, how other people see you.
All right. But anyways, my other thought on class action lawsuits, you know, I feel like as a person in the modern era, you get these a lot, and there's always like you get an email or like occasionally a letter in the mail, but I think it's mostly email now, and it comes and it like has a link to a website that is like, you know, a really bad thing this company did .classactionlawsuit.com. And it says, go to this email, they'll go to this website and type in your social security number and we'll give you $30 or whatever. And I never do it. I'm too scared. It just it seems like a scam. In fact, like, I don't understand why it's not a scam. Like, why am I not getting more of these emails that are fake and designed to just steal my social security number?
Well, that's what was a lot of them are scams. And it was funny because I probably wouldn't have noticed this one, but I literally saw a Verge article with the headline, "Don't delete the Lopez settlement email." And I'm like, that's good journalism. That's really helpful.
That's great.
And so I knew it was legit, but I have done other ones in the past and I have gotten money, and I'm actually like going through like my past email to see if I can track. I just don't remember what it was for. I got like $10 once for doing one. Recently, there were a couple that I put in for. Was it my SiriusXM? I'm looking at some of these. I recently put in for two of them, and I'm curious if I'll get paid. One was Patreon, actually, of which I am a member, had a lawsuit around privacy for disclosing subscriber information without consent, but I haven't yet gotten my between $35 and $175. And then there was also one from Dapper Labs, which is the company behind those NBA NFTs this stupid show made me buy.
We forced you.
That I only ever lost money on and are literally worthless. They were in a class action lawsuit and I have not heard back from them, but I did put in because they will supposedly reimburse me for what I spent on those NFTs. So I might be able to break even if the courts settle this, but
wow.
I'm still trying to track that down.
That sucks for them. So as we were talking about this, I realized that every time this happens, I never fill out the thing, but I always like keep the email in case. So I just searched in my email class action, and there's one in here for the MacBook Pro keyboards.
That was a big one.
Yep.
And they paid that out. You could have gotten your money. Is this like a list of all the what you could have had?
Yeah, no, there's a ton. There's an Amazon one. Class action for a pan that I bought that was supposed to be dishwasher safe, but was like not fully dishwasher safe. There's a Blue Cross Blue Shield one. There's a bunch of Blue Cross Blue Shield ones. I got a Yahoo breach proposed settlement. This is back to 2020. Google AdWords class action settlement. I didn't even use Google AdWords. Google Buzz. What is Google Buzz?
What was Google Buzz? I think it was like a social thing that they did.
Like before Google Plus, right? That's
yeah,
what
maybe.
The buzz.google.com. Can I go up 404? PayPal?
Yeah, they seem like they would be sued.
Definitely.
None of these surprise me.
Ooh, Uber? Credit to your Uber account from settlement of class action. This is Ticketmaster.
Oh yeah,
there's a who's who of scummy companies in my old email. But anyways, that was fun.
Yeah, so some of them are legit. I would definitely, if you've had Apple devices, definitely check it out. It's easy to get $100 pretty quick, assuming they ever actually pay it out.
Right.
But it must be submitted by July 2nd, so do not wait. Lopez Voice Assistant Settlement. So there's that. I mean, this is like, what a great show. We're making money for people. I mean, we're changing lives.
Seriously. It's by like
pretty neat.
2-3 lattes with that money.
A quick question for you. We talked about this before the show, a little bit before we were on air, that you're back in the office 3 days a week.
Yep. My startup was acquired, so we have a new corporate overlord, and they have a return to office policy, so I have to go to work now, which is not too bad, honestly. Like, I don't hate being in the office. It is like going from not going to the office to going to the office. Huge increase in like time wasting and distraction. Like there's a measurable amount of time that I would have been sitting at my desk, like writing code, that I now spend like on the train, walking from the train to the office, like, you know, going up to my desk, like going around the office and getting snacks because they're there. Lots of, you know, lots of stuff like that, which is fine. It's, you know, it's fine for me as a person.
So what is that? It's weird. What's that commute like? So as somebody who doesn't have a big city commute.
This is a good question. My commute is, so the office is in a pretty central part of Boston. Boston, famously the hub, right? Because it's a hub and spoke transit model where all of the trains go to downtown, and like they go straight into downtown. So like downtown is like the center of the wheel, the hub, if you will. And then like the spokes are the transit running into the city. Which is why, if you try and go, like, it's very easy to get downtown from everywhere and extremely hard to get other places.
Very
like,
true.
It's how, like, you know, you can be like a mile and a half away from things and it takes 45 minutes. But so I can get on the Green Line, which is the slow old trolley train, and I can ride the Green Line for like 20 minutes. And then get off and walk for 10 minutes. And then I'm at the office. Or I can walk for 45 minutes through the park and get to the office in 45 minutes. Both of which are pretty nice options.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's not like, reasonable.
Yeah. I feel like if I rode my bike, it would take like 13 minutes. Maybe a little more. But it would be extremely scary. Most of the time.
True.
Like high risk of death from like a bus or a cement truck or something. That's what
Cybertruck.
Yes. Oh god, Cybertrucks, they're so pointy.
Colby got stabbed to death by a Cybertruck. Got impaled on the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been pretty nice. So I've been doing a lot of walking, which is nice. There's one Dunkin' Donuts directly on the way. There are 3 Dunkin' Donuts. With minor detours.
Oh, you just live, man. I mean, this is incredible stuff. Now, I have to ask, because again, not a city guy. I get in my car, I drive, I get out of the car at the office. I would think if I were walking through Boston to commute to work, I would not feel comfortable having earbuds in my ears. Because I would be worried about not hearing something or noticing something that is happening around me, like a cement truck, a mixer, or a cyber truck. Do you have headphones in as you're going about your commute?
Yeah, usually. When I'm walking outside, I usually have my AirPods on transparency mode.
Oh, smart.
Or at the very least, like if something like, you know, if you're walking by like construction or something, like I'll turn on like the adaptive noise canceling, which is also like it does a pretty good job of like, you know, if there's something super loud next to you, it'll noise cancel. But then if you know, it's just normal sounds, it kind of does transparency mode. But yeah, I usually use transparency mode. I also do a lot of like, you know, I have a lot of like looking all directions habits, and it's like, you know, I mean, I'm like going down the streets that I like walk down all the time. So you sort of like memorize where to look. but
you're vigilant.
Right. It is a fair concern. I think the most annoying, unexpected thing that ever happened to me was like, I was walking home from the old office, like over the bridge, over the river, and like someone like jogging, like ran into me, like from behind. Like it was
okay. Yeah.
And like, I guess I stepped over to like avoid some person or a person on a bicycle or something. And they were like running down the sidewalk on the bridge. And they just ran into me. And I think that is fully on them. And I was annoyed about it.
Did you give them the famous Boston, get out of here? Yeah.
No, I was so surprised I didn't do anything. During COVID, the like DoorDash like moped riders adopted a real like Mad Max ethos like there are no rules for them. And so they're like, you know, you have to look both ways on one-way streets and like on sidewalks. Like if you're coming around a corner, you always look because there could be a person zooming on a moped in any direction. And it's terrifying. It's not as bad as it was. They had like a citywide crackdown where they would just like sit in like places where you obviously couldn't ride a moped and just like impound mopeds and put them on a truck
as they went by.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, do you guys still have like the scooters and all that still happening?
Good question. Boston had the scooters for 6 hours and they shut it down. They put them out. They were like, nope, absolutely not. Shut it down. No, there are no like Lime
very
scooters.
Smart. Yeah.
We have like the city bikes. They have like, I don't know, they're like blue bikes or whatever, but there's no like untethered, you know.
Not just a bunch of scooters lying around everywhere, all ending up in the river.
Yeah, like they tried it and there's no room on the sidewalks here. It's not like, you know, like in St. Louis, there were a bunch of scooters like when we went to St. Louis for a conference, and like they have huge sidewalks. Their sidewalks are the size of like the streets here. And so, you know, if there's a rat's nest of like dead battery Lime scooters, it's like fine. You just walk on the other part of the sidewalk, but that's not really available here. So yeah, no scooters, thankfully. I mean, people own their own scooters, but I think that is slightly less chaotic than. There also, have you ever seen the like single wheel scooter thing, Sean?
Those are crazy.
They're very weird.
They're crazy. But again, that's the kind of thing where it's like, if I were in like a skate park, I'd be like, cool, and do tricks with it as like driving around a city.
So that's scary.
That is like a death. You're really asking for it.
Yeah. Those things
and
go
fast.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They like really zoom. I don't know. I mean,
could you imagine like going down, like Boston has cobblestone streets. Like going down it on one of those. Oh, my God. And then nobody ever wears a helmet. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. You know, on the edge. Thinking about it, I don't think I've ever seen the same person riding one of those twice.
There you go.
So
is that like a cursed item when you go on Facebook Marketplace and there's like used?
There's actually there's really only 3 or 4 of them like per 100 square miles.
And they just get passed down. Yeah, I like that. A wake of devastation behind them. Colby, I think you'd be a great electric skateboard guy.
Oh, yeah. There used to be this guy who would ride down like Com Ave, and he had an electric skateboard and like a dog, and he would like walk his dog, and it was like kind of a small dog, but it would run behind him.
Oh, yeah.
He had like a very like recognizable outfit. He had like fur, like leg warm, like is that what those are called, like leg warmers, like the things people would like, it's like a almost like a 60s thing or something, and he had like these fur things that he was always wearing on his ankles, and he had long hair and it was always like streaming behind him as his dog ran after. It was awesome. I hope he's doing
well. I'm sure he's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could do that. I've never skateboarded at all, really. I tried once when I was a kid and I fell and it hurt.
Yeah, but now imagine if that had an engine.
Yeah, you know, it seems better.
Did I ever tell you the only time I went off a like an actual like ramp jump in my bike? It was a little plastic, but it was a ramp, and you were designed to go off of it. I got scared. I was going decent speed, but I got scared halfway up. And so, like an idiot, I slam on the brakes. My front wheel goes over and down, and I go up over, like, I do a flip up over the handlebars.
Wow.
And land upside down with the bike on top of me. It was very embarrassing, but the most extreme sport I've ever done.
Just think, you could have had, if you had made a different split second decision, you might have had a totally different life. You might be like BMX Sean right now.
I would be so extreme. That's me, Mr. Extreme. That's what they call me. No, I would, if anything, I'd be like the old guy on rollerblades at the beach. Like, that's my vibe. I love rollerblading. It's a shame nobody does it anymore.
Have you ever seen the rollerblading with, like, I guess they're supposed to be like skis or something? They have like huge wheels and the people do it with poles. They're all like, whew.
I have, but I also have a little bit of dignity left. Not much. I mean, like, almost none.
Right.
And that would just blow it to smithereens. So
totally.
I couldn't be caught dead land skiing. Assuming that's what they call it. I don't know.
Probably.
Colby, you wrote on the list here, oat milk. And I love that that's it. Like, I'm excited to expand on this.
Well, we were talking about Dunkin' Donuts. And I, well, sort of like separately, I tried oat milk recently. And like, I kind of like it in coffee because it doesn't like, it doesn't have as much, like if you drink it by itself, it has a flavor and it tastes like oats. Like, what, you know, it's true to form, but it like, it doesn't have as much of its own flavor as regular milk. So if you put it in coffee, it like, you know, makes the coffee creamier, but it doesn't make it taste like milk. You can still like, you taste the coffee more than if you put like the same amount of whole milk in or something. And I kind of like it. Also, recently I saw some news article that like Dunkin' Donuts was not going to charge more extra for oat milk. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try oat milk in my iced coffees. And it's good. It's, you know, it has the same thing. It tastes like more like the coffee, but still a little creamy. I love it.
Look at this. Who knew that Dunkin' could still be innovative all these years later?
Yeah, changing the game.
Well, I'm totally with you. I will say I have a decently iron stomach. I'm not lactose intolerant. Very few things bother my stomach except for Dunkin' Donuts cream. I don't know what it's made of, whatever unnatural homogenated oils or whatever is in it. I have no clue, but it makes me sick. So I've been doing almond milk there for a long time, and it's great. It's a fantastic alternative, although I have a complaint. If Mr. Donuts is listening, president of Dunkin' Donuts, I have a complaint, which is when you order cream in your coffee, you order it by the number and they have a little machine and they hit 3 or they hit 2 or they hit 7 or whatever, and it gives you an exact amount. But when you order almond milk or oat milk, they pour it out of the jug and you get an inconsistent amount of cream every time. And that drives me. And you can just look at the coffee and be like, that is not
incorrect.
Right. Yes. You need to make a robot that does it so I get the exact amount that I order. That does drive me crazy.
So I usually order on the app and like pick it up.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know if it's different per Dunkin' Donuts, but like the times I've done it at the Dunkin' Donuts here with oat milk, you can't even specify the number. It's just
it's like not possible
oat milk
anywhere.
No.
And basically. And so it's total user discretion. That's what's crazy to me. Of like, and Dunkin' is like measured on everything, like sugar and all this other stuff. It's all measured.
Right.
Even how many pumps of the syrup you get or whatever. But the alternative milks, they just pour out of the jug.
It's chaos.
I can't. It's a problem. We're getting into summer here, Colby. Weather, if it would ever stop raining, is going to get nice. And I'm curious, what is the, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, what's the Colby Rabideau Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee order? What are we going with? We got a standard. We like to mix it up.
I usually get a small iced coffee, just the regular iced coffee. I'm over the cold brew with one cream or oat milk now, like one cream and one sugar. Sometimes I'll get a medium iced coffee with two creams and one sugar, but it is important. A person like humans shouldn't drink the default amount of cream, which is 2 for a small and 3 for a medium, which it's,
yes,
it's like gross. It's what gives Dunkin' Donuts a bad reputation, I think, is that like if you just go and order like have, like the regular, you know, medium iced coffee, it's disgusting.
And by the way, if you've ever tried in the app, there is, I don't think, a limit to how high you can push. You can order a 10 and 10. You can order a 20 and 20 if you want. There are videos of people. I'll have to find some and send them to you because they come up in my feed. But literally, like, it'll be the person working at Dunkin' Donuts. They'll put the cup under it and it'll be like 12 sugars and there's like this much granulated sugar. And then it'll be like, you know, 18 pumps of caramel, and so it'll be like this much caramel, and I'm not joking. Then they put ice on top of it, and then they pour a tablespoon of coffee in it, and I think it's a joke. I don't think it's real, but it does make me laugh that there probably is somebody out there who, like, and then they like try and stir it and it's just like sugar granules and syrup. It's crazy. Wow. And it cracks me up. Do you ever mess around with flavors?
I don't. Laura has dabbled in the flavors. Coffee flavors are not my thing. What about you? What's your go-to?
It's a good question. Medium iced, I will do almond milk. I will do one liquid sugar. And then I will mix and match with the flavors. Mm. I like to try new flavors. And Dunkin' usually has something new every couple months. My default's caramel, which is pretty good. But the brown sugar they've had for the last like 6 months is really good. And they just rolled out pistachio for the summer, which was surprisingly nice. I'm not a pistachio guy, but it just had a little bit of nut to it. Like, it was not strong. It just added a nice little note. So that was pretty good.
Nice. So you're a liquid sugar boy?
Yeah, I don't want to have to stir it. Don't make me stir it. I'm not dealing with that.
I feel like one of the key parts of Dunkin' Donuts for me is that you don't stir it and you get to like sip the sugar from the bottom. No,
that, you know what? Like,
that's what Dunkin' Donuts is for.
No way. I tell you, that is one of the most unpleasant experiences in life. When you take the first sip, it's the straw at the bottom, and you just get a bunch of like sugar and caramel syrup, like because they didn't stir it directly.
It's gross with the syrup, but with the sugar, it drives me nuts.
No, but that's why they offer liquid.
One thing I hated during college, like the Hudson Valley Dunkin' Donuts all use liquid sugar by default, so you needed to ask them.
you're a lunatic. I didn't know this. That's crazy. Yeah. That you would like purposefully
get no, the that's granules. What it's for. I don't even like sweet coffee. I would prefer to just have like, you know, coffee so with cream, but I like the little sugar in the
bottom. So they just rip open a sugar packet and pour it in your mouth. It's basically this, and they take a sip of coffee. It's
like,
the same thing.
It's like light. Yeah, I mean, it is the same thing, but like, why would I rip open a sugar packet when I can have it like right in the coffee?
Deliciously at the bottom, a surprise right. Inside.
You can also save it for later. Like if you sip from one side, you know, you put your straw to one side.
You can save it for the end. This is not a great opinion.
I'm shocked that you're a Massachusetts person who is a like gets. A-
no, we're gonna get a poll going. This is unacceptable.
Wow,
I like sipping the sugar at the bottom. I was gonna ask, have you tried the Dunk-a-Latte?
No, but someone was telling me about it recently.
Is it good? It's up your alley because it's made with coffee milk.
Oh, there you go.
So it's coffee with coffee milk. And I said, that sounds like cool. We should try that.
I have never thought about this until this very moment, but I feel like I should try making like espresso, like steamed milk with coffee milk.
It'd probably be good.
It's going to be a weird day tomorrow.
Is there like is it easy to get coffee milk in Boston?
No, but I guess I might have to source it the next time I go to Rhode Island.
You got a guy?
Yeah, just the store. I think we talked about this on our New England bracket episode that we did, but like everyone has a bottle of coffee syrup in their fridge and no one ever uses. Like no one's drinking, yep. But everyone has it. It's really just in case someone who doesn't know what it is comes over and you need to share it with them. But I checked, my family all listened to that episode, and that was one take they agreed with. It's like, yeah, Like, it's true. We don't drink it, but there is one in the fridge right there.
Well, any other opinions you remember that came of that discussion?
There was, you had one opinion that my mom disagreed with strongly, but I don't remember what it was. A lot, I remember all the ones that everyone agreed with, like our Plymouth Rock take was pretty universal. Like,
yeah,
why? I think the same with whoopie pies. I was like, yeah, they are kind of dry.
They are, yeah.
It's just like, why are they so dry? They look so wet, but they're so dry.
Yep, I think that's the idea.
Yes, sir. Wow, how did we get here? Oat milk? Where did we start?
See, this is what's great.
Class action lawsuit.
Or anti-Elon Musk stickers. We're chugging through it here. We're coming up towards the end of the program here. Is there anything we haven't touched on, Mr. Colby, that is striking your fancy for this evening?
I don't know. We talked about all the life updates. I'm 1 year older. We haven't.
Yeah, you just had your birthday. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Very exciting.
Thank you. Nothing crazy happened. Laura made a carrot cake. Do you like carrot cake?
Not only do I love carrot cake, I love making carrot cake. Yeah. Carrot cake is one of the few recipes I would argue I'm decent at making. So I do like carrot cake. And I'm sure she makes a fabulous one, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah, it was great. We also had a bunch of like CSA carrots. So it was a
good fit. Last time I made carrot cake, I actually did carrot cake cupcakes. Same batter with the frosting on top, and they were dynamite.
Here's a question for you. Do you think it would be possible to make carrot cake muffins that were just or like carrot cake bread? Like, it seems like it's basically banana bread or something, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think the problem is the word cake, not carrots. Like, you could make carrot bread or carrot cake bread. That might be an innovation we haven't seen before. That's incredible. But I do like the idea of doing like a bread with any vegetable, you know, because you got a zucchini bread or a banana bread. But you don't have like a
pumpkin bread,
like a Brussels sprout bread.
Right. But like maybe my question is like, is the difference between like carrot cake and zucchini bread simply the format, like the shape of the thing? Like if you made zucchini bread in a round. Instead of a bread pan, would it be zucchini cake?
Probably not. But you know what? I think if you put frosting on the zucchini bread and you said, Sean, this is zucchini cake, I'd probably believe you.
That's true, because like lemon pound cake or whatever is in a bread format, but it has frosting on it.
Yeah, I mean, you put frosting on anything and that's basically cake. Well, you're breaking down barriers.
Really? You know, like exploring the human condition and... meaning a lot.
Well, that is one thing that's actually on the list for next week. Is I've been thinking about how we brand the show, because you know we're now past episode 400. We started as the technology podcast. We did that for a long time. Talk about tech news every week, pretty hardcore about it, and we've gotten away from that. Admittedly, we don't talk about technology all the time.
Almost on purpose.
We got burnt out. And so we kind of need a new tagline. We need a new sort of plot of the show. So next week I'll share some thoughts, Colby. I'd encourage you to think about it as well. Like what's the show about these days? What do we really do here?
I like it.
And not just waste people's time. We've always done that.
Yeah. That's true. I still think about that guy who commented on the YouTube. Isn't it time to give up yet?
Yes.
We're only 100 episodes.
Two views.
In.
Two Suck. Views. Isn't it time to give up? Yeah, but you know what? For every one of those guys, we have the guy who's like, I just finished 88 episodes of Game Nights. When are you going to finish? You know, it's
the
end of a spectrum. Yeah, they're like, can't wait. When are you going to finish the story? God bless them. You know, the analytics, man, people still are into that. Go figure. We missed the D&D wave. We were too early.
Right. One man's trash.
What are you going to do? Well, let's start heading towards the exit here. I, of course, have to mention our sister show, Up for Debate, at upfordebate.tv. Somehow it's May and March Madness still isn't done. We're still playing Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis.
Oh my God, I forgot to tell you this. What did I watch? So I listened to the first episode of the Indiana Jones March Madness, and then I listened to the second episode of the Indiana Jones March Madness where you guys like forgot, didn't save it or something went wrong and you had to start over at the beginning.
Yes.
And I remember I had just started playing. There's this video game called Loop or Death Loop. It's called Death
Loop. Yes.
Premise is like, it's like a shooting game mostly. It's like, it looks like Borderlands or something. It's like kind of like a weird, surreal game. But you, the person you're playing is stuck in a time loop and you are playing the same day, like over and, and over again throughout the game. And you're like, you know, you discover clues and like the story is sort of unfolding, but like every time you die, you go back to like the morning and you start and you have to go through and do all the same stuff again. And I thought you guys having that experience, I thought that like maybe the March Madness challenge would should be that you have to try and like you have to play the game over and over and over again until you can do it all in one.
Yeah, no, I honestly, March Madness as a whole is basically a nightmare from which I cannot awake. And it just seems to be over and over and never ending. No, listen, I love Matt to death. He's a wonderful partner, but playing video games as a podcast is not a concept that works. God bless him. And it's a fun Twitch stream and people tune in live and we play the game. But I don't think he realizes that at 2 hours a pop, these games are going to take years to finish. And I have to tell him, I'm like, Matt, you know, we're only like a quarter of the way done. And that's why we never finish any games. But I do have to ask you, Colby, I want your honest feedback as a podcaster and pal. Are those episodes remotely listenable? Because I when we record them for the audio version, the video version is the whole thing. But the audio version, I cut out roughly half an hour of silence of the parts when the game is happening and we're not saying anything.
It's pretty good, honestly. Like, it's not, I think some of the, like, in the past, some of the text adventure ones have been pretty hit or miss, but at least, like, I'm not up to speed. I haven't listened past that episode when you guys had to start over. But, like, uh-huh. I did enjoy that episode. Part of why it was so good and why I thought it would be such a good idea to, like, do that every time until you are able to finish the game is that, like, you were just ended up talking about other stuff while you were playing through. And like you were in the background like, no, Matt, you have to do this. We did this last time. It was like it was very entertaining.
Well, listen, I will let Matt know. We're happy to start over anytime. No, I agree with you. It was very nice to do that.
I think it would be like an interesting like reason. You know, like our whatever for this show, right? Like our reason when we started doing it, it was like, okay, every week there's going to be tech news. We're going to talk about it. And like, you know, we talk about other things, but that was like the inside. That's like the thing, the recurring thing that you come back for. I think a funny recurring thing would be like, oh, we're playing this like point and click Indiana Jones game and we have to, you know, eventually we will finish the entire, we'll get so good at it that we'll finish the entire game. Yeah. But really the show is like what happens while you're playing the game over from the beginning.
Figuring it out. No, Matt, you have to go left. We've done this. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been a hoot. Well, what a great endorsement, Colby. Yes, please join us. I don't know what we're doing this week. We might play it again. But we are heading into summer season, which means we're going to be doing movies for the summer. And I think we've decided on, I'm not 100% confirmed, we are going to be doing the comedy films of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Which I'm kind of excited about because most of these I haven't seen. And so none of the action stuff. We will just be doing, I believe, in order, six films. Kindergarten Cop, Last Action Hero, Junior, Twins, Jingle All the Way, and I think we're going to end with Batman and Robin, in which he plays Mr. Freeze. So I'm pretty excited. It's a weird mix of movies. It should be fun.
That's it.
So check us out. Maybe we'll have Colby join us for an episode, can watch a movie and talk about it. If any of those pique your interest, let me know.
All right. I do like forcing Laura to watch like a bad movie with me. We haven't done that since we did the Hackers and Pirates of Silicon Valley.
I think, have you ever seen Batman and Robin?
I mean, not since I was a child, but I remember renting it at the video store and like watching it. Was that the one
that Last Action Hero are pretty wild.
Was that the one that had, did that have the Joker in it too? No.
No,
was
no,
it that Poison was the, Ivy. It was like Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy, right?
Yeah. Yes, with George Clooney as Batman. It's bad. Like, like you're going to be jaw on the floor. So anyway, we got fun stuff coming this summer. Check it out up for debate.tv or wherever you get podcasts with the video version on YouTube. And of course, our show, this is don'tpanic.io. All our episodes are on the website. Check it out there. You can subscribe wherever you get podcasts or on YouTube to check out the video version of our gorgeous faces as we talk about the latest. Of course, you get a hold of us. Don'tpanicshow@gmail.com is our email address. You can email at any time, 24/7. The inbox is always open. But we're going to start to wrap it up here. So on behalf of Colby, I'm Sean. We appreciate you guys being here. We're going to see you next time for another talktastic edition of Up for Debate. No, of Don't Panic. That's the show. I don't, it's Monday. Why do we do this Mondays? I got two brain cells left.
We can do it on a different day.
No, that, because then I'd be too smart. No, we can't do that. We'll see you next time.
This has been a Coffee and Beer production, executive produced by Dan Miller, Colby Rabideau, and Sean Jennings. To learn more, visit coffeeandbeer.tv.